It's Friday, February 27th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Here's a number that's going to follow you around all weekend. Only 30% of young adults in America are actively dating. 3 in 10. Meanwhile, 51% say they want to be in a relationship. That 21-point gap between wanting something and doing anything about it, that's not a stat, that's a vibe. And today we're going deep on what's actually happening, why the apps are dying, and what South Korea's $270 billion failure can teach us about where this is all headed. Let's get into it. The Institute for Family Studies just released their State of Our Unions 2026 report, and the subtitle is blunt: The Dating Recession. They surveyed over 5,000 unmarried adults between 22 and 35, prime dating years, and the findings are genuinely startling. 74% of women and 64% of men haven't been on a date, or have only gone on a handful of dates, in the entire past year. Not the past month, the past year. Only 1 in 3 feels confident in their dating skills. Only 1 in 5 young women feels confident approaching someone they're interested in. And here's the detail that stuck with us. Researchers asked people when they expect to get married. The answer, regardless of age, was almost always about 5 or 6 years from now. 24-year-olds said 30, 29-year-olds said 35. The horizon keeps sliding. It's always in the distance. Marriage isn't a plan anymore, it's a someday. So what happened? The obvious culprit is dating apps. Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, they were supposed to fix this. Infinite options, algorithmic matching, swipe your way to love. Except Match Group, the company that owns Tinder, Hinge, and Match.com, has lost 80% of its market value since 2021. Bumble's struggling too, and according to Axios, 80% of college students don't even use dating apps anymore. The apps aren't failing because people stopped wanting relationships. They're failing because people finally noticed the incentive structure. If you dig into Match Group's SEC filings, and we did, they're remarkably candid about it. Revenue depends on user engagement, not user success. Think about that for a second. Every successful relationship is a lost customer. That's not a bug, that's the business model. Dating apps are built the way slot machines are built. Variable rewards, intermittent reinforcement, the dopamine hit of a match, the gut punch of getting unmatched, endless scrolling through faces optimized for time on app, not for actual human connection, and people got tired of it. Now we could stop there and blame the apps. But this is part of something much larger. The median age of first marriage in America just hit an all-time high. Men are marrying at 30.8 on average, women at 28.4. Back in 1975, those numbers were 23 and 21. That's a 7-year shift in a single generation. And the age of having kids is tracking right alongside it. The average first-time mother in the U.S. is now 27 and a half, up from 21 in 1970. In D.C. and Massachusetts, it's over 30. But here's the thing, this isn't just us. The entire developed world is on the same curve. Japan's fertility rate is 1.2, Italy's is 1.2. China, the most populous country on Earth, is at 1.0. And then there's South Korea, which holds the record for the lowest fertility rate ever measured, 0.75. You need 2.1 just to keep a population stable. South Korea is a third of the way there. And it's not like they haven't tried. Over the past 16 years, the South Korean government has spent $270 billion on baby bonuses, subsidized childcare, parental leave expansions, the full policy toolkit. It hasn't moved the needle. At current rates, every 100 South Koreans alive today will have 6 great-grandchildren between them. 6. There's a fantastic deep dive from Works in Progress magazine that explains what's happening. South Korea has become maybe the most competitive society on the planet. 80% of kids attend Hagwon, private cram schools that run evenings and weekends on top of regular school. Families in the bottom fifth of the income distribution spend as much on tutoring as they spend on food. The race to get into a top university has become so brutal that having kids feels like volunteering for 2 decades of financial and emotional warfare. And the gender dynamics have completely fractured. In the 2022 presidential election, 59% of Korean men in their 20s voted for the conservative candidate, only 34% of women in the same age group did. Young men and women aren't just not dating, they're barely inhabiting the same political reality anymore. Now, America isn't South Korea. We don't have hagwons. Our housing costs are painful, but not soul-level painful. But we're on the same trajectory, just earlier in it. The forces are familiar. Career versus family trade-offs that still fall mostly on women. Housing and childcare costs that make starting a family feel financially reckless. A dating culture hollowed out by apps built to keep you swiping. And a generation that came of age during COVID, when all the normal ways you learn to flirt and fumble and figure things out just weren't available. So what actually works? The counterintuitive answer is that the things gaining traction look a lot like what your grandparents would recognize. In-person events are surging. There's a company called Singles Only Social Club running nights in LA and New York with 300 people showing up. Speed dating is back. Dinner parties with strangers. Matchmaking services that charge real money and have actual skin in the game. Running clubs have quietly become the new singles scene. Same with climbing gyms, pickleball leagues, trivia nights, anywhere people show up consistently, doing something together, with low stakes and room for conversation. There's also interesting research on the policy side. A 2025 NBER paper found that countries where men do more housework and childcare actually have higher fertility rates. It's not just about making it easier for women to work, it's about making partnership feel like actual partnership. And the single most effective policy lever, according to a meta-analysis of European data, is subsidized childcare. Every 10% increase in childcare subsidies correlates with about a 0.4% bump in fertility. That's modest, but it's real. Baby bonuses don't work. Reducing the ongoing daily cost of raising kids does. We're not going to solve the fertility crisis in a 10-minute briefing, but we can name what's actually happening. There's a generation that wants connection, but has lost the script for how to start. The platforms that promised to help were optimized against their success. The economic math of having kids gets worse every year, and the timeline keeps sliding into the future. But also, running clubs are packed. Speed dating waitlists are full. People are deleting the apps and showing up in person. The desire hasn't disappeared. It's just looking for better infrastructure. 51% want to be in a relationship. 30% are actually dating. That gap isn't a crisis. It's an opportunity for whoever figures out how to close it. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.